I mean, is a hot dog and a tortilla just a burrito with, nothing in it?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just a disgrace.
No, yeah. I think so, too.
Hello and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where we talk to all kinds of folks about innovative ways to better feed the world.
The show where we talk about all sorts of ways to feed innovative folks the whole new world.
What?
No.
Oh, that's man. Okay. That's all right. We're okay, off to okay, a okay. rough start, you guys.
No, I'm off to a rough start. I'm so sorry.
That's okay because we are barely doing what we usually do this week, so the tagline isn't super applicable.
Okay, okay.
But sorry. We are...
I'm on it now. I'm on it.
We are talking about, I think, innovative ways to better feed the world, maybe, or at least better feed the not world, the galaxy.
The future. Ooh.
The future. Okay, so let's... Okay. Let's address the elephant sorry. In the room. It's that I usually don't have anybody else in the studio with me. But this week I do, and I'm really excited. So, friends, let's introduce ourselves.
My name's Katie Townley. I'm an astrophysics and journalism major.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Anne. I'm a sophomore, and I'm a statistics major.
Yes, so I have some sciencey folk in with me today, and we... Oh my gosh, we're going to talk about space food, and it's going to be a really fun episode. I hope you guys are already getting the vibe that it will be, because I'm not talking to, no shade, a super monotone, very professional and respectful scientist this week. I'm talking to undergrads who still have that zest in life in their voice, so... Should be a little bit more
sure
fun.
Are you sure about that?
Katie is our resident space expert, so
oh,
pretty yeah. I mean it should be. It's why you're here. Not really, but she is our girl who knows everything about space, and Anne and I are here to learn and also teach.
Yes, learn, teach. I like food.
Yeah,
I like space.
Exactly.
Let's learn and teach.
Mm-hmm. So we will be doing that. So the way that we're gonna do this is we each have prepared a small space food themed story, and we're gonna go around, we're gonna comment, and we're gonna have fun, and we're gonna mm-hmm. have some laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, you have anything you wanna add before we get going?
I think I'm all set.
Okay. Well, then let's rock and roll. We're going to start with Katie, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us some stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so say you're an astronaut going to space.
I'm an astronaut going to space.
There are certain things that you need to take with you in order to, you know, survive. This, of course, includes food and water. But there's a lot that's different in zero gravity, zero Gs, though. If you tried to make a meal the same way you would here, there would be some serious problems.
Imagine pancake flipping in space.
Yeah, no, not gonna work. I mean, take, for example, spices. So sprinkling salt and pepper on your food isn't really an option, because without gravity, those little grains would fly everywhere in the vents, the tech equipment, and, oh yeah, your eyes.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, getting pepper in your eyes would not be a very pleasant experience. So, I mean, the solution in this case is, liquid spices.
Ew.
Right?
I picture, toothpaste, and then you just, rub it
yeah,
into
so they
your
have,
food?
Yeah, so they have, a little thing that they squirt it out, and it's, you have, the little pepper, liquid
Ooh.
Pepper. It's weird.
Ew.
And it just floats in space, and you just take a bite out of the salt and a bite out of the egg and just, oh, mix that up.
Is that
oh.
really how you do it? Like, you have a spice in the air and you lick it that?
See, I mean, you can put it on. There's videos of people, where they're making, a taco or something, and they're putting their sauce on there, and it'll, stick to it, right? But, I mean, the spices will stay with the food when you put it on, but I don't know about you guys. I feel like that would be kind of,
no. Very gross.
Gross.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like condiments, though, so maybe it's not that weird.
Yeah.
Just imagine eating something at the beach and just ew. Oh, this food is not salty enough. Okay. Gargle.
That's so gross.
This is a problem with more than just spices, such as crumbs and other foods. I mean, this means no bread. No buns for hot dogs or hamburgers. No bread for peanut butter and jelly. Instead, tortillas for everything.
How is a tortilla really that? Oh, because of the crumbs.
Yeah.
Imagine a 6-month-old tortilla.
That's a good question. Yeah. Can stuff go stale in space? Do you know? Is that because it's like because of the air and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ways to package certain foods to allow them to last longer.
Yeah.
They also, like, for the International Space Station, is they have at certain intervals they send up. I don't know if you would call them rockets, but like you would, they would shoot up these packages of, that would bring like food and other things and stuff like that, like stuff that you need. Mm-hmm. And that's also how they can have stuff like fresh food.
Whoa.
So I mean,
whoa.
You can have like fruits or vegetables.
I did not know that. So yeah, it can like so cool. like fly up and like attach to their ship.
Yeah, I don't actually, I don't know specifically how it works, wow. but I do know that they do send up, they're able to send up like little capsules of stuff.
That's so
care packages.
Pretty yeah. much, yeah. Yeah,
so I'm picturing like an Animal Crossing when there's like the present on the balloon, and that's aww. How it works in space.
Oh, of course. No, I'm kidding.
I'm just thinking of like quite. Astronauts' moms writing little notes.
Right, and they like send today. It up. They love send you. It up. Yeah. No, but I thought that it was just weird because, I mean, like, imagine having a hot dog. Like, but your hot dog is like in a tortilla.
At what point is it no longer a hot dog?
Ooh, exactly. Yeah.
You know, like, where's the line?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, is a hot dog in a tortilla just a burrito with like nothing in it?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just a disgrace.
No, yeah. I think so too. I mean, because in space, well, without gravity, things just float around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, little drops of water float in the air, and astronauts kind of just like Pac-Man their way over and like slurp it up. Like, right? I mean, we've gotten smarter and we can send up food to the International Space Station, like I was talking about. And it can be like cooked in this like makeshift oven, sort of.
Like an easy bake?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like this like container thing that basically is like thermal and it can like heat it up, but it's not your like traditional oven. I mean, astronauts have actually even baked cookies there.
Aww.
I mean, look, isn't that cute?
How cute. Yeah. They're having fun.
It takes a lot of time just because it's not like your normal oven.
Okay, wait, I have a really dumb question yeah. that I feel like you could answer. So when you're, like, actually going, you know, say you're shooting off to the moon and you're yeah. in this little spaceship, are you just kind of booling all day? Like, what do you do? Like, you're just, I mean, the ship flies itself, essentially, right? Are you just, like, doing arts and crafts all day?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be done in there. So, yeah. I mean, the ships do fly themselves to a point, but there's also certain manual things that they have to do, or I mean, if there's a problem, they've got to deal with it. But there's a lot that goes on in there, and something that they do like in the International Space Station is they do like a lot of different experiments, mm-hmm. and they're working on stuff like yeah. this. I mean, they've grown like plants in space before.
Oh.
I mean, stuff like that. They're just yeah. trying new things and working on new stuff. But of course, there's other things that it's like technical stuff they have
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. Okay. Also, as your resident stats and measurements girl, they do a lot of stats and measurements.
Oh, really?
Up there.
What yeah. are they measuring?
I mean, all sorts of things. Temperature, distances. As Katie mentioned, everything is manual, but you want to make sure that, like, there's not a solar flare in your way and the ship isn't too hot.
I guess that is, that's rather important, isn't it? Okay. Well, yeah. thank you, you guys.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So we didn't always know that eating in space would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first person in space, Yuri Gagarin, I think I'm saying that right, can't tell you for sure, was also the first person to eat in space. Some articles say stuff like, by eating this blah, blah, blah in space, he proved that people could swallow in 0 Gs. Okay, and if that hadn't worked...
He really put his life on the line for,
like,
that experience.
What was their plan with that?
Seriously?
I mean, they're like, okay, what happens if you can't swallow in space? He starts choking.
Yeah.
All right, like,
let's hope it wasn't
wow.
Russian rye bread, because I know from experience that's hard enough to swallow with the regular 9.8 Gs.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
Not to steal from, like, a very overdone comedy, but what's the deal with 0G food? Because in airplanes, you have really bad food, right? Because
yeah.
you have, like, all of that pressure, and that's blocking off your nose, and so you can't smell anything, and so everything tastes weird. Does that happen in space? Cause, like...
Yeah, it's a little bit different in a sense that, like, so the fluids in our body when we have gravity kind of sink down to our feet, right? Because we're being pulled by the gravity. But when you're up in space, they kind of balance out through your body, which mm-hmm. gives you kind of this, like, almost eternal, like, sinus head cold thing, which makes their taste buds kind of act weird. I mean, think about it when you're sick, like I sort of am now. It's like you can't really taste as much. So actually up there, they're really into like spices and hot foods because that kind of like, kickstarts their taste buds. So, I mean, they'll like eat like jalapenos or whatever. And it's like, wow, I can actually taste
just
something.
Just feel
you know?
Something. Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But I mean, obviously, food is necessary for survival. So, I mean, there's a long history of it in space. And I think it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. I mean, it can only get better, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, or if not better, at least weirder.
Well, so, very cool. That's excellent. Yeah. That's excellent background as we go forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for me, much like something past the spaghettification horizon of a black hole, I decided to narrow my subject down and stretch things out.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. That was nice. That was well done.
So, I had an apple this morning, and it's called a Cosmic Crisp apple. Quite good. It's, like, really sweet, really crunchy. And so I was like, what's the history of apples in space? And it turns out scientists and astronauts are nerds. Who would have thought?
What? No way.
because according to this site that's like an affiliate with NASA called Astrobiology, they've basically been trying to get every single bit of apple trees from Newton's orchard up into space. So everyone knows the story. Isaac Newton is sitting under an apple tree. Apple falls from the tree, hits his head, and he's like, oh, it falling on my head must mean that there's something pulling it down towards the ground. And that something has to be gravity. And then he came up with all of those formulas.
Or, he just got a concussion. Like, it was just like, wow, gravity.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
We're disproving gravity on today's episode. Anyways.
Yeah, so the story might not be as true as all that because it is hard to do math with a concussion. but he did at least credit that apple tree with like inspiring the idea. So that apple tree has continued growing and has had kids. And scientists have sent wood from that tree, seeds from that tree, and like full like dehydrated apples up into space. Goodness. The seeds are the coolest bit because they were packaged in such a way that they were like stable. They went to space, they went to the moon, and then they came back here and they've planted them and they've grown. So if we can like terraform or like treat the like Mars or whatever, apple seeds might be a really good way to bring that fruit because they can survive that trip. We know that. Whoa. So I think that's so cool.
Yeah. Wait, so you're proposing, I might be too ahead of myself, but you're saying that one day we could potentially maybe grow food on another planet and bring it back to Earth.
That's, some people are hoping for that.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, have you guys seen The Martian before?
I have read the book and I was horribly disappointed, I will say. I haven't seen the movie. I heard it's really good, but.
It's been on my next list forever. I gotta read it, but I have seen the movie, and I mean, technically, like, it's sort of based in science, where it's like some stuff that need to be understood.
It seems when I read the book, I was like, this is like reading a freaking textbook. So it seemed really like
that's
I did. There's
that's
so
funny.
Many numbers. I'm like, okay, I get it, dude. Like, you were an actual scientist or whatever.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I did not enjoy reading it, but
oh man, yeah.
Yeah. Then the other thing, which is very funny, is that this YouTuber named Mike Mongo basically annoyed NASA into bringing seeds from an apple tree planted allegedly by Johnny Appleseed. So he just kept, like, posting on YouTube, like, hey, please do this. Please bring the American Johnny Appleseed seeds up into space. And NASA was eventually like, yeah, okay.
That's so funny. Even NASA can be bullied into doing stuff.
Even NASA can be bullied.
Wait, so what did they do with, like, the wood that they brought up? Was it just like to say that they brought it up, or was it more because they do that with stuff,
they'll bring stuff
be like, oh, it's been in space. But I mean,
at the same time as that gold record that we had, like, to like maybe talk to aliens.
The Voyager
story
probes,
so cool.
That is we're dorks for that for sure. But interesting.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll wrap it up. I don't know if we'll have time to actually include this one, but I'll make it quick. So, as I'm sure that you two know, I believe, but I don't think the listeners know, there are 96 bags of human waste on the moon currently from the past 6 moon landings. It's a lot, and that's poop, pee, vomit, you name it, anything that comes out of your body. We got it all in bags up there. And I like this story from a food fix perspective because the problem and the solution are subjective, both of them. So it's a really interesting little story. So we got poop on the moon, right? So the question is, people want to go and get that moon poop and they want to bring it back. Why? Why would we want to do that? Well, we want to know if the moon poop is alive, essentially. We want to know if the bacteria in the moon poop is still alive and has lived, you know, on moon, moon for that long. And why do we want to know that? Well, we want to know, could we contaminate other places and potentially start life with our poop? Because, again, poop is 50% bacteria, which is alive. Yeah. And the Earth is pretty hospitable, but the moon is not, obviously. The moon doesn't have an atmosphere, doesn't have an ozone layer to protect us from the sun's harmful rays, doesn't have a magnetic field, blah, 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 blah. Obviously inhospitable. So, like, probably dead, right? So why do we care about moon poop? Well, because Mars, because Mars, as we were just discussing, the planet from The Martian, I literally wrote in my notes.
yeah, I love that.
Thin atmosphere, evidence of water there, and overall more hospitable environment than the moon. So, if our poop bacteria can survive on the moon, then it can almost definitely survive on Mars, hypothetically. So, what would happen if we went to Mars and we left our poop there? Would it spread? Would our poop particles run the planet? It's a cool thought. But, you know, if it works and we find life on Mars one day, how do we know if it's, like, Martian life?
Or the life that we brought.
Or the life that we brought.
Poop.
Exactly. But this all leads to a much cooler point, which is how did life get to Earth in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we are all descendants of alien poop. This is a real theory.
Wait, do people actually believe that?
When I watched this video online, this was an actual theory that that either, you know, probably less likely that aliens were here, they pooped, and they left. Or this is the other theory, which is kind of crazier, but I think more widely believed. An asteroid, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Take the moon. We have our poop there right now. What if hypothetically an asteroid were to fly by, scrape the surface of the moon, pick up some poop bags from us, and then collide with another planet that happens to be hospitable? Our poop particles would flourish, and we would have populated another planet with that poop. That could have happened to Earth, and we could all be descendants of alien poop. Thank you.
Some interesting poop theories.
Right?
Really interesting theory.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, like, what do we do? Do we want to get our poop off so that can't happen? Or do we want to leave our poop there so that
just
maybe
see
it
what
could
happen?
Or do we want to start pooping all over the galaxy to see what happens? I don't know. But I think it's an interesting question.
I mean, because now I'm curious. Like,
I'm really curious.
Because it's been there for a while.
It has been there for 6 moon landings.
Yeah.
When, do you know when the first one was?
69, I want to say.
Look at that. See, I had no idea. Yeah, that's a lot of poop from a lot of generations.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, the pee is actually what's interesting me a little bit more.
I know, right? The pee and the vomit? Because they said it was all up there. So I'm like, is it in bags, like kind of blobbing around, you know?
Imagine like vomiting in zero G. I couldn't imagine that. How does it even work? And then they take the bag and they're like, all right.
Ooh. Oh, true. They just kind of swoop by with the bag. Oh, that's gross. Well, anyways, at least none of us will ever be astronauts.
Probably not.
Okay, well, I think that covers it, and we're making pretty good time. So thank you, ladies, for joining me this week.
Yeah,
this was
thank you.
Way more fun than it usually was. Oh, I'm going to try to remember my credits that I always have written out. So I have to thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining me. This was really fun.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I would like to thank my listeners. And if they really liked this episode, which I hope they did because it was really fun, then they should leave us a 5-star review on the podcast. And then I want to thank the Freezer Bees, which is the band that does the music for my show that you guys will hear. I would like to thank the Night Center for letting me work here and having a lot of creative freedom. And that's all. Yeah, I think I covered it.
Cool. Well, sweet. Signing off. Until next week, you'll see me again, but probably not these guys, so say your goodbyes.
Bye.
Bye, guys.